Hello and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Kendra Lee Speedling. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, sure. It's I've actually played several of your scenarios, and one of them that is one of my favorite higher-level ones is 308.
That's Fleeting Truth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The numbers go completely out of my head as soon as I'm done with them.
Yes, it's the 9 to 12 with the all the pyrotechnic action going on.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you liked that one. It was a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, that's actually, I've run that probably half dozen times because lots of people need higher level stuff. And of the higher level scenarios, that's probably the easiest, most straightforward to run that I've come across. So, all right. Kendra is an author, game writer, and designer whose works have been published by Paizo Inc. for both the Pathfinder role-playing game and the Starfinder role-playing game, Paizo Fans United, Wright Publishing, Legendary Games, Rogue Genius Games, Flaming Crab Games, and Wayward Rogue Publishing. That's a lot of publishing, that stuff you've had published, it sounds like.
Yeah, that would be over the past, since I started, I suppose. I think you named everyone I've ever worked for.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So how did you get your start as a freelancer? Kind of how did you meander through all these different publishers?
Well, I originally started freelancing. I applied for a job at Paizo, actually. It was a full-time gig that I was searching for a full-time job at the time still, and it seemed like a really interesting one. I didn't quite meet all the qualifications. I had writing credits, but not freelance game writing credits, so I thought I'd try anyway, and I didn't get it, understandably, because I didn't really have any direct experience at that point besides playing and running games, but I did get a very nice email from Wes Schneider asking if I wanted some information on freelancing to build up my experience and things like that. So I said, yes, that'd be great. Thank you very much. And I pretty much started from there. I first had some things in Wayfinder. That's the first things I had published. And then from there, I just did some networking at PaizoCon when I went every year and got some jobs from that and kind of went from there.
So had you been going to PaizoCon prior to doing this, or was that part of your strategy, I guess?
For a couple years I had. I don't remember what the first year I went was, but I was definitely going before I was freelancing. So it was something I was already doing regardless.
And did you then start writing for first edition, or were you writing for third-party publishers first, or how did that work out?
I started out for Pathfinder First Edition because that was before Starfinder was out, or right before Starfinder was out. I forget when it got released initially, but I started off with third party, and then I actually got my first Paizo gig through the recommendation of a friend who knew someone at Paizo at the time.
And which third party publishers did you start with, or how did you get those assignments?
My first assignment that I got a payment for beyond my Wayfinder fan stuff was a short adventure for Wayward Rogues. So I forget how I got in touch with them initially, but they had me write a short little adventure, which was the first thing I got paid for, and then I got some other third-party offers from various people I'd met at PaizoCon and things like that, and kind of went from there. I wasn't particularly active in looking for work initially. I kind of started slow, mainly because I was still operating on the fiction principle of if you don't get a response, they're not interested. So it took me a little while to actually get the momentum there, but once I had that, I eventually got my first Paizo gig through a friend who recommended me. She knew someone who worked there at the time. And then I just kept getting new offers from there.
Nice. And now for your assignments there, do they just kind of reach out to you, or do you frequently or infrequently email them saying or asking if they have additional assignments?
Usually someone will reach out to me. It's kind of funny because every time I start to think I should start sending out little emails to people saying I'm available, I'll have something pop into the inbox. So it's like I summon it, I guess. But it's good timing, I suppose, most of the time.
Right. And you started with Pathfinder First Edition, I'm guessing?
Yep, that's right.
And then how did you progress to... Yeah.
My first Paizo assignment was in, I think it was the Legacy of the First World player companion was the first one I got from Paizo directly.
And how did you eventually get to second edition in Starfinder? Did they just keep requesting you, or did you, how did that work out?
I just got offered to do new and different things and kind of went from there. So yeah. It's... mostly what I've been offered so far.
And were you playing first edition at the time, or were you playing all, did you switch over to second and Starfinder as well?
I've been playing first edition for quite a while now. Probably, I think we started a few years after it came out. And then when Starfinder came out, I started playing it, I believe the first campaign I did in Starfinder as a player was Dead Sons. So we waited for that to fully release, and then we played it a little while after that at my table. And then second edition I started playing again a little while after it came out to get some experience with the system so I could keep working in it.
Mm-hmm. And do you do organized play as well, or mostly the APs?
I actually haven't done too much organized play. I have done it a couple times at conventions back when in-person conventions were a thing, but I haven't actually played it too much. It's one of those things where I like it. I like the concept of it a lot, but I usually am a little reluctant to play with just strangers that I don't know most of the time. So,
So, I'm kind of curious then. So given that you've written a couple scenarios and in your experience, you know, with the APs, so do you find that you have to play test things, or you just kind of write to the developer notes and it turns out fine?
I play test things if I'm particularly concerned about a certain aspect. One of the Starfinder Society scenarios I did, Songaro's Gifts Part 2. I playtested. Mm-hmm. There's a starship combat in that. They warned me to be careful about because it was kind of based on a similar mechanic that occurred in a different scenario where it kind of went a little bit too long. So they told me to make sure that it was not going to drag out too much. So I did have to playtest that. And then I've playtested a few things here and there that I'm particularly concerned about, but it really depends on the time frame and whether or not I'm able to toss something together too, often toss something together on short notice.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So are you regularly playing any games outside of the APs you're running besides the Paizo products?
APs are usually what I play. Right now we're, my partner and I are actually in the middle of a Second Darkness playthrough. So going way back. And I just finished up running an Age of Ashes game. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, I'm actually in the middle of a Call of Cthulhu game as well.
Cool. Very good. So you have quite a few freelance credits, you know, across several different publishers, you know, both, you know, first edition, second edition, Starfinder. How do working in these various systems help inform or perhaps even hinder your writing in the others?
Well, it's nice to have the variety. I like working on a lot of different things, and I like each of those systems for, you know, different reasons. So it's kind of nice to be able to switch back and forth. Helps keeps things from getting stale or from getting too stuck in a rut in terms of my own process. And The main pitfall really is formatting. I have to always make sure I'm not using the wrong format or writing things in the Starfinder method for... it was more of an issue between Pathfinder 1 and Starfinder, but every so often there's some things that cross over.
Interesting. So what's your process like when you're given an assignment, say a new scenario, if you're given it, you know, you're given the developer kind of outline and what they're looking for, where do you go from there?
Usually if for longer things like a scenario or an adventure, they want a outline, like a expanded outline to mainly flesh out what exactly is going to do and kind of put the, be more specific than their basic outline that they hand out. And so I do that if it's asked for. And then for Paizo usually has milestone deadlines, which are basically just midpoint check-ins to make sure that nothing's going too far off the rails and everything's looking all right. So for the milestone, I usually try to have a first draft done. That's not always possible. Like in the case of something longer, like an adventure path volume, I didn't have a complete first draft for it by the milestone, but I at least try to make sure I have all the mechanics done and stat blocks, things like that, so that if something's gone very badly wrong somewhere, they can warn me early. And then after that, assuming everything looks good, I just kind of keep going with it until I'm done.
So now the adventure paths are quite a bit longer than the scenarios. Do you have a preference between the two?
I don't know if I'd say I have a preference exactly. I loved writing my adventure path volume, White Glove Affair, and I'd definitely jump at the chance to do it again. But it's definitely a commitment. The scenarios are also fun. They're a little shorter and a little shorter time frame. They're released a lot sooner, so you get to see kind of people out in the world reacting to it and playing it and things like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, now you mentioned your AP for the Fly Free or Die campaign. We're actually, my home group is just finishing up Attack of the Swarm, so we're finishing up book 6, and we're going to be starting Fly Free later this month, I'm hoping. Without any spoilers, can you give us some highlights or some cool things that we will look to see in your volume, which I think is volume 4?
Yes, it is. So let's see. No spoilers.
Yeah, I get them all, but I don't read them. I don't do anything because I don't want to ruin the experience going in. So, you know, it's okay to suggest things, but yeah.
So White Glove Affair was a lot of fun to write. It's a little bit more heavy on the social aspects of role playing rather than, I mean, there is combat that takes place in the volume, but it's not a majority of it. So there's an early section with which the players can handle, well, basically they can handle in a few ways. They can be sneaky, or they can be combative, or they can try to work a few other things out, but they're kind of en route to a destination, and when they get there, it's kind of, they have an objective to complete, and they kind of have a basic plan of what to do, but in terms of what they do to actually accomplish that, it's pretty open. I try to keep it pretty open because the volume is kind of heist heavy, intrigue heavy, and the fun of doing something like that is being able to come up with your own plans. So
right. Cool. Yeah, I'm actually playing an envoy for the AP, so sounds like it should be a lot of fun in that one.
Yeah, I think if you got an envoy, the book 4 will definitely be a time to shine for you.
Excellent. So you earned a master's degree going to school in London, actually. So how has that helped you in kind of your research for your various freelance projects?
I don't know if it's one of those things that directly connects. I've had a kind of a research background throughout my schooling. I did my bachelor's in English too, so I was already pretty used to research by that point. But it definitely gave me some inspiration for, you know, cool settings, cool things to work in. It was really interesting being over there and kind of being in another culture, seeing things that I won't see back home. So it was definitely inspiring in that regard. I have very many pictures of old houses.
And you also studied in Japan as well?
Yeah, briefly. I did a short summer study abroad thing in Tokyo when I was an undergrad.
Mm-hmm. Does any of that kind of come into your writing as well?
Sometimes I've done a short story a long time ago that was kind of based on Japanese folklore. But it's one of those things where you want to be a little careful because, you know, I'm not Japanese. I'm not Japanese American. I don't have that background. So I don't want to step on the toes of somebody who would maybe be better equipped in terms of, you know, Japanese inspired monsters or things like that.
So what advice do you have for people that are aspiring to break into freelance RPG writing, like similar to yourself?
Mainly just practice. Write stuff for your home campaigns. Write stuff for that you would like to play, that you can kind of try in your own home games and experiment. I really recommend Wayfinder as a great way to kind of get your work out there and get people noticing it. Tim Nightingale, who runs it, he does a really good job at kind of helping shepherd people through that process and give them kind of an idea of what it's like to write for spec, to write something based on premise and then write to a deadline, all that, write to a specific word count, all that sort of thing. So I think it's a really great experience for anyone who wants to break into the field, and then gets your work out there and you still retain the ownership of it, so you can use it as a portfolio sample or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked with Tim quite a bit. I did an interview with him as well, and he actually kind of really looks as Wayfinder is a stepping stone for people to become paid freelancers, and really kind of relishes that role and likes to see all the successes that have come from that. So
yeah, he's definitely right about that. I know a lot of people who got their start that way. I'm one of them. So,
So what's next for Kendra? What kind of cool things are you working on that you can actually talk about?
There are a lot of things I don't think I can just yet. the author list for Secrets of Magic is out, so I can confirm I've got some things in that. I don't know if I can say anything specific otherwise.
Yeah, you can't really say the specific things you worked on until it's out, really. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I will be having some things in that. And then I do have a bunch of other things upcoming, kind of in the summer, fall, and then there are a few things that aren't announced yet. So. Mm-hmm.
Good. But so nothing you can talk about, though.
I was just in Galaxy Exploration Manual, which did just get released. Mm-hmm. They actually just put the blog up about the authors yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. So that was kind of cool. It's kind of neat that they're starting to do that. They'd done that for a couple books, and then they hadn't done it for a while. And now it seems like they're getting back to more regular coverage on that.
So. Yeah, I think they're starting to try to do things like put the author lists up and do the blogs about the authors to kind of showcase who did what and that kind of thing, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nate, Kendra, thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.